Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Stuff that changed the world.
The mobile phone.
The internet changed the world.
Penicillin, I would have thought.
I would say sanitation.
It changes everything.
Simon Tierney joins us once again. Something that people perhaps mightn't be that familiar with, yet it's everywhere. Gelatin.
It really is, yeah. Sean. We kind of think of it as something that's in sweet things that we eat, but it's actually in so many other things. My interest in gelatin, I'm not sure, was first aroused about 5 years ago when I found myself on a trip to Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia. And I was in a supermarket there, Carrefour, the big French supermarket. And there was a little section down at the very end of the supermarket with a doorway. And over the door, it said, for non-Muslims only. Mm. And I went in there. And as you would expect, there were all sorts of pork products, chorizo, hams, various different things like that. And in the corner, there was a shelf full of confections, sweets, candies, jelly babies, everything that you can imagine, because there is gelatin in so many of the sweets,
yes,
that we eat as well.
I am that soldier. Being the parent with two vegetarian children, it's a nightmare. Everything has to be checked for,
yes,
gelatin.
Yeah. You just don't expect it, but it's
you just don't expect
sugar.
It, but it's everywhere. Yeah. And so what actually is it made from?
Okay, so the gelatin process is an ancient one. It first began in ancient Egypt. We also know that it existed in ancient Rome. Pliny, the great documenter of daily life in ancient Rome, he talked about it, but always in the context of being an adhesive, not as something which you would consume. Mm. The way it was made, and the way it still is made, is that the bones, ligaments and tendons of cows and pigs, generally, are boiled, and the collagen from those materials is extracted through the boiling process. That's skimmed off and dried, and then you add water to that and you create this kind of jellied substance. We also get it from fish, very popular in the late medieval period in England. That's where we begin to see the adoption of gelatin as a culinary ingredient, as opposed to something that was used to stick things together. In that period, there's a part of a fish, and I had to look this up. Online. It's called the swim bladder. Every fish has a swim bladder, and it's this sac of air in the middle of a fish's body, which contracts and expands depending on how deep or shallow a fish wants to go in the water. Mm. That is absolutely fantastic, fantastically gelatinous, and is often, yeah, in gelatin products.
Right. Okay, that's kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
And why has it ended up in so many products? What is it that's useful about it?
Oh, so the thing that's great about gelatin is that it's pure protein, absolutely pure protein.
Oh.
So, like, for example, during the Napoleonic Wars in the first decade and a half of the 19th century, the French soldiers who were behind the English blockade, they were fed gelatin because it was, you know, a fantastic source of protein.
Oh, okay. And so, as you said, it was used way back in kind of Egyptian time as an adhesive. When did people start thinking, oh, you can use this as a foodstuff as,
yeah,
well?
So, as I say, the late medieval period, we see it being used by Catholics, actually, on Fridays, as a way of avoiding meat. Because, as I said, the swim bladder was used to make this gelatin, and that it'd stuff it with fish or something like that, particularly eel, apparently, in that period. But it really comes into its own, Sean, in the Victorian period. And there's a reason for that. Because nowadays, when we think of jellied products, when we think of jello, as the Americans call it, we think of it being molded into interesting shapes or into uniform blocks or squares or something like that. And the evolution of gelatin, it goes very much hand in hand with the evolution of the pneumatic copper press, which happened in the mid to late 19th century, and you've got this absolute gastronomic craze for gelatin products, because the really fashionable, chic thing to have as part of your kitchen kit in your house was a gelatin mold made out of copper.
Mm.
So the centerpiece of the Victorian dinner table was an elaborate kind of monument to gelatin in the middle of the table, which would be stuffed with everything you could possibly imagine.
Ugh. But did it just not look absolutely disgusting and unappetizing?
Well, no,
and
they liked it because the thing about a jelly mold is that it's like creating sculpture out of food. So it looked fantastic. Now, let me give you an example of one. Let's be specific here. The Macedoine mold was one of the most popular ones during the Victorian period. This was a double mold. So it looked like a mold within a mold, made of copper, as I said before. And you fill that with gelatin. And then when it was all set and everything, you took the copper mold off and then you stuffed the interior with various fruits or meats. And the Victorians loved the colours that they could get the gelatin. You know, they used all sorts of natural colour dyes to get interesting colours. And then the food inside got this kind of refracted quality, because looking through a jellied substance, it's like looking through a kind of a foggy window or something. And you get all these abstract, colourful sensations. And the Victorians loved that.
Okay. Well, that sounds kind of fancy. But could you chuck anything into it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, as I say, the Victorians, they did enjoy fruity gelatins, but they also, you know, they would be partial to a calf's foot jelly as well, you know. So
of course.
It wasn't just sugary ones, it was savoury ones too.
Right. And I suppose part of the reason why there's gelatin in so many things nowadays is that people figured out ways of mass producing it or bending it into various shapes.
Absolutely. Everything changes in the 1840s when an American man by the name of Peter Cooper, he decided, okay, it's really hard. People love gelatin products, but it's really hard to make gelatin. It takes a long time. There's the whole boiling process, the drying process and everything. So he took huge, large dried sheets of gelatin and he ground it down into a powder. Suddenly, you had a product which was able to be made by the home consumer instantly. You add hot water to gelatin powder. The powder absorbs the liquid and swells into this wonderful jellied substance. He called his product portable gelatin. He didn't know how to make this enticing to the consumer, because gelatin in its purest form is actually completely tasteless and odourless. So another group of people came along, Pearl and Mary May White, a little later in the 19th century, and they did one of the most genius things in the history of the culinary arts. Not a healthy innovation, but it made them a lot of money. They added fruit powder or fruit syrup to the powder. Now their product was 88% sugar and the stuff flew off the shelves. They called their company Jell-O. Jell-O is like Hoover in Ireland. It's become a kind of a generic term.
Yes.
But it's actually a company and it's the most successful dessert company in America. All their products are made with gelatin.
Right, okay. And so but Jell-O comes in presumably in different flavors.
Every flavor you can imagine.
Sizes.
But it's just filled with sugar.
Yes.
So Americans love sugary products.
Yes, of course they do. Yes. Now, and what relation does this bear to the marshmallow?
I love this because this is a really strange thing. Marshmallows, until the mid 19th century, were made with the sap from the mallow plant. I didn't even know there was a mallow plant. The mallow plant grows in salt marshes, hence marshmallow. However, the processing time for making marshmallow took a long time. It took a long time to prepare and dry the root sap and everything. So in the mid-19th century, the French decided to replace the mallow with gelatin. And they got a similar fluffy, jellied effect in their confection. And ever since, there hasn't been an ounce of mallow in our marshmallows, which is bizarre.
Yeah, that is bizarre. Now, I suppose, would the Jelly Baby be one of the better known or more world famous examples of gelatin in action?
Absolutely, because it has that lovely jelly texture, and it's also one of the oldest sweets candies that we still eat today. So the Jelly Baby launched in around 1864. It was actually invented by an Austrian guy, but who was working for Friars Confectioners in Lancashire. And his brief was to design a jelly bear. So to use a small mold of a bear and to put the gelatin in with the sugary syrup, and hence you've got this lovely little treat for kids. However, when it came out of the mold, his bosses said, okay, this looks more like a baby. So it doesn't look
like
a
which
bear.
Is weird, actually, if you think about it. Yeah, really,
It is weird, yeah. So it became known as an unclaimed baby. People would call this sweet unclaimed babies. And the reason for that is, of course, because during the Victorian period, unclaimed babies, sadly, were an everyday part of life. People would see unclaimed babies in bassinets outside churches, on the steps, or in streets, various places around the city. And it became popular to call them unclaimed babies, which to our modern ears sounds really kind of horrible.
Yeah.
Then in 1918, apparently they became known as peace babies, the celebration of the armistice. And then it was after World War II in 1954, when Bassett's became the market leader, that they became known as jelly babies, and they still are today.
Right. Now, some of the things you described already, Simon, sounded kind of disgusting. Mm. Jellied salads.
Yeah. Jellied salads are often listed as the worst inventions in food history. And there's a reason for that if you check my Twitter.
Yeah.
So what happened, Sean, in the post-war period, 1950s, people were starting to have refrigerators, and it became really popular and fashionable again to have gelatin products. And the American appetite, as we say, was for sugary things. People started putting everything into these sugary gelatin molds. So let me give you a 1963 recipe that I came across from a cookbook called The Joy of Jell-O. As we said, the Americans call jelly Jell-O. And it calls for raw onion, tinned tuna, stuffed olives and celery encased in a sweet vinegary lime jelly. That is one recipe right there.
Yeah.
But it illustrates this massive gastronomic craze for everything encased in these. Like, I've seen recipes for lamb chops suspended in gelatin. I mean, it's extraordinary. They literally put everything in gelatin.
It's going to come back sooner or later as well. That's what's making me nervous about this. Because you know the way the like crazes for these things kind of return.
Yeah, it's funny. It is.
And sooner or later somebody will. Simon, somewhat unnerving having you in this week. Simon Tierney there.
Stuff that changed the world.
The mobile phone.
The internet changed the world.
Penicillin, I would have thought.
I would say sanitation.
It changes everything.
Moncrief.
On News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.